Throughout all of history, they've only talked about the fame, never the hard work, never the elbow grease, never the early call time.
Good morning, early call time.
Cock-a-doodle, don't.
Whoa.
Oh, boy.
It's going to be that kind of day.
We're transitioning into terrestrial radio very soon.
We're going to have a sound bank that
has farts. I thought
you were
going to say terrestrial rage. I don't know why. I don't even know what that is.
That doesn't make any sense.
I don't know.
Hey, guys, who are we here with today?
Nadav.
We're here.
Sure,
with,
right? I'm Nadav.
We're here with Ryan Knight, who's an assistant editor for the show Stitchers.
Did you say for the big show?
No, for the show Stitcher.
Oh, okay.
Oh, right, because we're in Stitchers week, right?
A month, yeah.
Or Stitchers month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what does that mean?
Well, we've had guests on from the Stitchers show.
Oh.
And because it airs this month on
on Freeform.
Freeform. What was the... Do you remember what the premiere date is?
March 22nd at 10 p.m.
There you go.
So that's exactly what it sounds like.
What?
Yep.
All right. Ryan... How are you today?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. I'm good. How are you?
We're great.
We didn't ask you.
We did. Yeah, I said. I said,
no more donuts
I said,
for you.
I said,
off
Ryan.
Today. I'm just in a sugar coma.
By the way, I would like to mention that if we feel like, if it sounds like we're on crack, it's because we had a sugar rush of the donuts from the donuts that Ryan gave us earlier.
And I just double fisted two cups of coffee.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That you brought donuts.
That's good.
Yeah, it's actually the first guest we've ever had that brought donuts, so we would just like to...
thank you.
Thank you so much.
No.
Thank you so much, Ryan.
Absolutely.
Thanks for thinking ahead. You know what?
You're a pleasure and a dream.
You're hired.
You know what? That's what assistants do. They think ahead.
They bring donuts.
Great. Now everyone will always know me as the assistant.
Dude.
Dude.
Career's over.
Show up anywhere without bringing donuts.
Well, so far, so good, bud.
Donuts is a good...
I heard on a podcast that you brought donuts, and I was wondering if you brought donuts to this meeting.
It's a good step in the right direction.
Yeah.
You know, people like donuts in the morning.
People always remember the guy that brought the donut. Or the girl.
Exactly.
Or the girl. A girl could bring donuts,
yes,
too.
Yes.
No, Mr. at the DMV, I did not bring donuts. I just needed new picture for my license.
One of the best things that I did, it wasn't donut related, but it was very much a gift to a post-production.
Was it donut holes?
No. Oh. No. It was coffee.
I feel like that's donut related.
What I did was give out Starbucks gift cards to people.
I love how you told me that. Can I tell people how you phrased this so that it doesn't sound like you're buttering your own muffin?
Yeah,
I'm going to butter it for you.
Okay.
Oh.
Ooh,
here we go.
When I was looking for work, JJ was like, I always will preemptively give people a $5 Starbucks gift card because you do that thing of, you know, taking people out to coffee or having coffee with somebody if you want to, like, network with them. And he's like, that way, it's like, I've already bought you a cup of coffee.
Oh!
Yep.
Oh, that was a crazy...
Yeah, he just uses it for the tax write-off. Come on.
I don't actually...
hold him back.
But
yeah, that's what paid for this whole place.
Yeah. From tax write-offs from Starbucks?
Yeah. Ethiopian blend bought this condo.
Yeah, write off $20,000 a year in Starbucks gift certificates.
Go.
And that's how that goes.
But we're not here to talk about Starbucks, are we?
No. Nope.
Well,
or gift certificates.
I mean, okay.
Well, we could. I mean, I guess.
No, we won't. We're here to talk to Ryan, guys.
Okay.
Ryan, what are your thoughts on Starbucks?
Prefer coffee bean.
Okay.
Get out.
Yeah, hop on out.
I'm okay with it.
Ryan,
coffee.
Where are you from?
I am from Michigan.
What do you do?
That's not California. That's not here.
That is not here. That is a long way from here. So it's a lot colder, too.
You moved here, huh?
I did.
Oh, man.
So you don't commute?
Nope.
So you made the choice.
You don't
choice.
Commute to Michigan back every night?
You made the choice.
I made the choice.
To come here.
How long ago was that?
It'd be 6 years in July.
Wow.
What is your maiden name?
Knight.
Nice.
Yep.
Cool.
Ryan Knight.
I took my own name.
Oh.
That's very big of you.
Who did you take it from? Whoa.
Hey-o.
When you go to medieval times, who do you root for?
Whoever they get assigned.
Are they all your people?
The Knight.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I see what you're doing.
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, boy.
Thanks for the setup.
If it's not daytime, what is it?
Nighttime.
This guy's good.
When you play Super Smash Brothers, what character do you play as?
myself.
Meta Knight? All right, for sure. I don't know. For sure, guys, for sure. I'm the only one. All right. I believe that.
Are you related to Keira Knightley?
No, but Bobby Knight is my grandfather.
Really?
No, but I tell everybody. That would be awesome. And it's awesome.
I met him. I met him once. He's a real
Had
dick.
You guys known me, you know, 6 years ago, you know I had a little bit of a temper, and everyone would have believed that, too.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Moving to California really chilled me out, guys. I'll tell you. Mm. It must be the sun.
Did you have anything to do with that Harrison Ford and Meg Ryan movie called 6 Days and Seven Nights?
Oh, God.
And also, did you do like a Nutty Professor thing where they superimpose you 7 times on screen? So it's like you're having dinner with yourself?
I don't even know how to answer these.
7 nights? Oh, my God. Sometimes I surprise myself, guys.
Oh, boy. So that's been our time.
Thanks for
coming on the show and letting us ridicule your last name.
Well, the truth is,
do you like rye bread at night?
See, I have several nicknames. If you really want to go there,
thanks.
So I got some friends that call me rye bread. A lot of them,
really?
Oh,
being in the sports related, I play a lot of sports, right?
Mm-hmm.
People call me Niter. Everyone just puts an ER at the end of a last name, like mm-hmm. Geiger. I mean, it used Geiger. To be Geig. And it was Geiger.
Right.
So he just adopted that name. But but no, my favorite one.
Oh, so would he be Geiger?
Geiger.
So your last name is Geig? Really?
Geig. I don't know. I'm not following it, but go ahead.
But, you know, I got to be honest. One of the first jobs, actually it was my second job I took out here. I went in for the interview. And believe it or not, I was actually at iBoogie.
No.
And I was told, come in, be loose, you know, just be yourself and... The EIC looked at my resume and goes, oh, is this the night guy, the Knight Rider? We're going to call you Knight Rider. And she just kept calling me Knight Rider. And I just, not many people call me that or refer to me that. But the one time they did, I just started kind of chuckling. And she looked at me. She was like, what's so funny? I go, well, you're calling me Knight Rider. That's what I call my girlfriend. And literally, I was like within the first 2 minutes of the interview and I worked with them for 3 years. So, I mean, they're really, she's like, are you a funny guy? I'm like, well, I just said that. And she's like, yeah, okay, you're all right.
It's like, well, I did just make a dick joke.
Yeah.
In an interview.
In an interview, like literally within the first few minutes of the interview.
That's great.
And it went really well. My career has boomed.
So word of advice to all future.
That's a great piece of advice.
Yeah.
It is. Break the ice early, guys.
As many sex jokes as you could possibly cram.
I would highly not recommend that.
Yeah, no, don't do it.
No, guys, it works for everyone.
You
got
to feel the room out first, you know? I mean,
sure,
I guess.
Yeah.
So you felt the room out by fielding them saying Knight Rider. And I went into this
room and there were pictures.
You're
like
a yes and type of guy.
Pictures on all the walls. I was like, wow, this place means business. They look pretty, you know, like looks like it'd be a fun place to work. And I don't know.
Did you know the snozzberries really taste like snozzberries?
The snozzberries definitely taste like snozzberries.
I knew it.
Yeah.
I knew it.
You knew it.
Actually, I remember... So iBoogie is how I know you, Ryan.
That's how I know JJ.
That's how you know JJ. It's kind of like how we all know each other.
Pretty much.
I don't know.
And I remember there was, like, when I first started working there, there was some sort of meeting, either a post meeting or, like, a town hall meeting, something. And, like, I'm sitting in the room. It's that conference room that's just lined up with all those headshots, like framed headshots.
Pretty much what I was just describing. Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
And I, like, sit down. I come in late, and I sit down, and, like, the chair I'm on is, like, a swivel. And I just knock over, like, 4 or 5 framed pictures, and everyone looks at me, and they're like, who the fuck is this new guy?
And so then they put you in the second floor, which
yeah,
probably was the safest just, place to put you.
Just me and Asher, yeah.
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 With all the asbestos.
I remember that room.
It was a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just played a Russian live music festival concerts.
I thought you were going to say roulette.
Mm-mm. No.
Russian roulette.
Wow.
Yeah, we just played Russian roulette all day. Just back and forth. Gosh. Just two people.
That's amazing.
With no work accidents.
I'm surprised you made it through the day.
Us too. We didn't want to. Mm-hmm. You know, there was honestly a time where we just kept on putting more and more bullets in there.
Sure.
Still didn't get it.
How's work? Good. Didn't get shot.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's better to be the winner of Russian roulette or the runner-up.
I don't know.
The one that doesn't die. I think that's the one you want.
Yeah. If you have a nasty limp.
You gotta watch the guy like shoot himself. Or girl. I don't want to.
Ryan, how many times have you played Russian roulette?
I've never played it.
Or sticky fingers.
Definitely several times.
Yeah. Yeah. Good.
Oh boy. All right. So
this is all making it to the air, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Well, we haven't dropped the end bomb, so we're not editing it out.
We are live.
So you were in Michigan.
Yep.
And then you can't. What was iBoogie the first job that you? No, you said it was the second one.
Yeah. So let's see. Well, I went to. I'm going to back you up a second here. I'm going to take you a little bit further back on my timeline.
Please do.
Your editing timeline.
All right. Yeah, we're going to make this more of a linear conversation.
Oh, shit. That's going to render me bored.
Oh, man.
Fuck.
Media offline.
I want to contribute, but I also don't want to be a part of this gag.
No, so my high school back in Michigan had a film program, kind of a film multimedia.
Oh, that's nice.
We had an instructor there who's very, very skilled, very talented person, ran the photography, multimedia, and we had a weekly television show, and I was a part of, and we would shoot it, we'd edit it, and they'd air every Friday. Nobody would watch it because they could care less, and then...
Was it like the news of the...
It was like the... Oh, wow. Sorry. Big feet. No, it was kind of like the weekly news that aired weekly.
Oh.
So it was kind of fun. Like, you know, we shot it green. Yeah. Yeah. It was the Falcon News. Yeah.
That sounds pretty majestic.
Pretty majestic.
Falcon
News. It flew all over the campus. Okay. Anyway.
There's that wit and charm.
There it is. So I went to, after high school, I decided to go to film school at Columbia College Chicago. And great school, great campus. I mean, mm-hmm. right in the heart of Chicago, you really can't complain.
Mm-hmm. Garrett's Popcorn.
Garrett's Popcorn and Giordano's
Oprah Winfrey.
Deep Dish Pizza.
Oh, yeah. How was the crime there, man?
Yeah. Lewis.
How was the crime there when you were
That's
visiting?
Why we work well together. We compliment each other. I mean, yeah. Yeah, I like the other pretty much.
Did you have a car while you were there?
Never.
No.
Did you ride the L?
L. Yep.
Oh, that's the thing I hear in Shameless.
It stands for the elevated train.
But coincidentally, it was mostly underground.
Really?
Well, the red line was, and that's pretty much what we took. But I mean, it was.
Was George Clooney your doctor?
Not once. Well,
did you ever hope that he would be?
That's a different show.
Chicago Hope.
Oh, I get what you're doing.
I just want to contribute.
There was a doctor in Chicago Hope named Jeffrey Geiger, and my mom was like, "You could be a doctor." What? And I go, "I could."
It's like that Jeffrey did it.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway,
very nice.
Yeah.
So, what was that like for you?
What did you learn at film school that you still use today?
Oh, boy, now you're really putting me on the spot.
Do you regret going to film school?
I don't. I mean, I regret my student loans. Those really suck. But look, I was fortunate to have some professors that have, had a career out here in Los Angeles and then went back to Chicago, either started a family or just wanted to, being in the Midwest, like living in the Midwest is really a unique and great experience. People are fantastic. Just quality of life is great. I mean, I love what I do out here and I love my life out here, but I'll tell you, it's really, it's home, you know, and I can definitely see why people want to be there. But I learned a lot in film school and they really, we started off shooting 16mm and we actually edited raw film, of course, after it was developed. But it was really a cool experience. And I learned... I was a Final Cut Pro user at that time, and then they taught us Avid. So really, every instructor had something different that they brought to the table. I had one that made you kind of cut from within side. You know, we did exercises like writing journals and just kind of took a different approach to editing where you have some that are more technical and then you have some that are like really reach inside and learn how to tell a story. And, I took something from everybody there and, it was really a great experience. So, and I still use a lot of what I learned in work, with what I do every day.
Nice.
So
now you mentioned student loans. I'm not going to ask you how much you paid for school, but on roughly like for Columbia, how much on average do people spend to go to film school?
You know, that's a really good question because I couldn't give you a accurate answer because I just found out that was it USC that just went up to 70,000 a year.
Jesus,
I just wow. read. Yeah,
and a you go year? And you go for how many years to film school?
Well, film school. I mean, I got done in 4.5. but also, you got to take into consideration you're downtown. My dorm was a high rise apartment that they just 2-bedroom. They put 4 people in it. So
oh, I see.
You know, but the. I mean, you're looking at north of anywhere between 25 and 35,000 a year at least. So it's not cheap. But no, and if you're serious about it.
Now, was that postgraduate school? Was it?
I was all undergrad.
You were all undergrad.
I was all undergrad. Yep. Just have a bachelor's degree.
Yeah. Right on.
So, but I graduated in 4.5 years and, yeah, it was great.
You highly recommend film school, did you say?
I do. You know, it's interesting. I've met a lot of people out here in the industry that didn't go to film school and are very successful. I've met a lot. I've met some people that have who are very successful out here and did go to film school. You know, of course, when you're in any job and in any trade, you learn on the fly. I mean, the film industry within itself is ever changing. You know, it's changing all the time. Technology. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I would just say that for me, getting the roots of, you know, what filmmaking is all about, you know, from early stages of development, pre-production all the way to post, I thought it was very, very worthwhile. So,
okay. I think we've covered the school aspect.
Right? Covered school, right?
All right.
I think. Did you use your number 2 pencil?
mechanical.
Oh.
0.7.
I'm just going to do this. Just pull that mic away from me for that question.
Well, it is important to know.
Oh, okay.
You got to have the right tools in your toolbox.
I have to, if I may,
I got to tell you about a number 2 pencil.
Oh, okay.
Oh, boy.
I ruined it, but here's what you do learn. Bucks. Here's what you do learn on the job.
Schrodinger's cat.
Now that, you know.
Nope, that's different.
Bringing back Stitchers, you know.
Okay.
One of our assistants, very clever guy, very funny guy, very witty.
Mm-hmm.
He comes into my office one day and says, I got a joke for you. He goes, what did the mathematician do when he was constipated?
He took a number 2 and shoved it up his ass.
I mean.
Fished it out.
Pretty much, but. He did what he does with any problem. Worked it out with a pencil.
I nailed it.
You basically.
I got it.
I mean, you just had a much worse.
Yeah, I just told it how it was.
No, it wasn't my joke, so don't go, you know, hating.
No, I can see how you could arrive there. It's a not right one.
But I mean, I just had to tie in Stitchers, pencils, and
taking shits.
Not that we do that. I'm just saying.
Right.
I mean, you don't. I do.
Before Stitchers, you were somewhere else, right? You worked a number of other scripted shows, right?
Number being one.
One, okay.
One.
Yeah. Union shows, I'm sorry.
Yeah, how did you make the jump from a company like iBoogie to, you know, more union stuff?
Well, in order to get into the union, I had to be placed on the roster, and I needed to have, you know, they have a number of prerequisites or requirements in order to fulfill that. So, while working at a company that primarily focused on web content, I ended up, I was double dipping. I was moonlighting at another company that, you know, 4 nights a week and pretty much reality TV shows or scripted television shows. And I was assistant editing, you know, doing your grouping, syncing, outputs, the works, you know, cutting snap-ins, kind of grooming myself in order to be able to, you know, join the union. And I'll tell you, it was, what really kicked me into high gear was an editor came up to me and said, hey, I got a union show. Are you interested? And I had to say no, not because I wanted to, because I had to, because I didn't, I had a long way to go before I could even get on the roster. Right. So once that happened to me, I was like, I better, if I'm serious about this career, which I knew I was, I really needed to kick it in high gear. So like I said, I actually moonlighted for 11 months. It was supposed to be 6 weeks and turned into 11 months. And I tell you, I was super thankful for it. And it really just, you know, got me to appreciate, you know, the amount of work that it can take to, you know, to get to where I'm at now. Not saying that I had to do that, but I'm glad I did.
Well, and you learn to work on less sleep.
Pretty much.
Right, so moonlighting is working night shifts?
When the moonlight is out, yeah.
Oh, at night.
Yeah, at night, like me.
I see what you did there.
Oh, okay.
Ryan has a gift. I swear, he can probably sleep 2 hours and be perfectly fine working. I don't know how he does it.
Cocaine.
Yeah.
It must be.
Lots of it.
Yeah.
No, actually, I get that from my dad. My dad is very much
the cocaine?
Like that.
The bread maker.
You get cocaine from your dad?
Man. Does the bread have a lot of flour in it? Wink, wink. Cocaine.
Ayo.
Don't do it, kids.
No.
Stay in school.
Yeah. No, he was working, you know, working midnights delivering bread. And I don't know which one of you said that, but it's impressive.
I remember.
Yeah. So,
was it Wonder Bread?
Brown berry, or out here it's called Or Wheat.
Oh.
Yeah.
Or Wheat.
And Thomas English muffins and bagels.
Nice.
Nice. So, just having him as, you know, working midnights and then would come home, sleep for a few hours, and then pick me and my brother up from school and take us to hockey or baseball, whatever, you know, season it was. I mean, he was constantly on the go. So I kind of get that from him, and both my parents are very hardworking and really kind of shaped me to be the person I am today. So... but yeah, I mean, look, I don't recommend working doubles. I mean, that could have killed me.
Yeah.
It really could have, but I was really passionate about it. And then I got into the union. I was able to get on a show, Project Runway All Stars, which,
as a contestant or?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Nice. Well, I was one of the models.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
You do have a very unique look to you.
I'm very curvy.
Mm-hmm.
I am.
Very voluptuous. That's it right now.
I look like Nadav who ate Nadav. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's my favorite line from Trainwreck. I think it was John Cena who ate John Cena or whatever. I just love it. I think that was a movie. But
he was in that one.
He was, yeah. But no, it's, yeah, once I got into the union, it was kind of like no looking back. And, you know, I had basically, once I had taken a union show, I pretty much declared myself to be freelance. You know what I mean? And after
that's
that...
It's tough.
I've had a very fortunate and lucky... I mean, I work hard at what I do, and I work hard at networking and trying not to burn a bridge. Ever.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's always a good call to not
always
burn bridges.
A good call. You see people do it, and you just hope that that's never you. Like, you never get to that. But yeah, so once I... basically, you asked about scripted shows.
Mm-hmm.
I had this editor friend who, I don't know, we kind of look alike. It's kind of crazy. We're kind of like doppelgangers of each other.
Oh, yeah?
And,
So another voluptuous woman.
Very curvy.
Yeah.
I think you could say that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay. It's JJ, guys.
Ah,
it's
JJ. Shit.
What?
But no,
save the reveal for the end.
Yeah,
it was me.
It's a non-linear show, guys. You can edit it. But no, I mean, the truth is, I was very passionate about getting into scripted television or features, and I was fortunate to work with JJ at iBoogie for a little bit and work on different shows, and you know, I'm always about learning from other people, and you know, I picked your brain, JJ, all the time, and asked you, what do I got to do? Not begging you for a job, at least I didn't feel like it, but, you know, just saying, how do you get in, you know, how do you get in? How do you put yourself in that situation? And, you know, a spot opened up on Scorpion for, 5 weeks and I had a really tough decision to make. I mean, it was easy to me at the time, but I was, 2 months in on a, 6 month contract basically with Project Runway All Stars. And I went to my post super, her name is Katrina Reiners, and I say her name because I'll tell you, one of the greatest people I've ever worked for is that woman right there.
Mm.
One of the nicest people. And I went up to her and said, hey, I got an offer. It's only 5 weeks. It's to move on to scripted. And she knew that's what I wanted to do. And she told me that they would hire somebody for 5 weeks to basically sub in for me, replace me.
And that would be waiting for you when you came back.
And then I could have my job back when that ended.
She's amazing.
I was super amazing. And, you know, I went and took the job, and the day that I was rapping with Scorpion, I was introduced to my producer at Stitchers. Mm-hmm. And I went in and interviewed, and I started Monday. So I ended on a Friday at Scorpion, started on Stitchers on a Monday.
Oh, so was Katrina like, look, dude, we got you covered for 5 weeks.
Yeah.
You keep fucking us.
It's going to be
pretty much.
Poor Katrina.
No,
that's what she gets for trusting you.
Here's the thing. Throughout this journey, I mean, it's only, you know, 6 years out here in Los Angeles, but it's been, I've been at this since I was 13 years old. So we're looking at 16 years here. I've had a lot of support from faculty, from my parents, to my fiance now, and even, you know, people in the industry that I've worked with. And that was one of the nicest things I thought someone could do for me was give me an opportunity when, you know, they knew they were kind of, you know, they were losing me at that point. So not, you know, buttering my own biscuit, as Andrew calls it. But but no, muffin. I mean, like, it was
muffin. Oh, muffin. Yeah.
I like biscuits better. But
yeah. No, it's fine.
I mean, it's just don't biscuits and gravy, not, you know,
who puts
muffins
butter on muffins?
I don't.
Is that a thing?
I don't know.
I'm sorry, Ryan. I'm that's sorry for the digression. No.
If you look at the Bisquick box, you'll see a picture of a muffin. Sometimes there's a little square of butter.
See, that's
on
what's kind of pathetic is you got to make them from scratch.
Down the side.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
I'm just saying this is the. They know what.
I've never looked at a Bisquick box.
Never.
Not well, I mean, once. If I see it, I just turn my head.
Betty Crocker.
He's like, I know this recipe. Just a little flour, a little water, a little love.
Speaking of biscuits, how about them biscuits on the set of Stitchers? Huh?
They're good.
Yeah, ooh,
they're very biscuity.
Yeah, is the crafty on point on Stitchers?
It's pretty legit.
Now on Freeform, maybe you should talk to
Sebastian.
Get Sebastian on.
Just think of the little lobster from Little Mermaid. Or was he a crab?
What were the highlights of his crafty table?
Yeah.
Well, okay. There's crafty lobster. And there's catering.
Okay, I'm listening.
Sebastian was catering.
Oh. Yeah. So that's like lunch
Sebastian,
and dinner.
Sebastian, yeah.
Okay.
Breakfast.
Well, what are the highlights? Like dessert tables.
The most bomb cookies I've ever had.
Yeah?
By far.
The bomb
chocolate chip cookies.
Were they ooey gooey?
Yeah, they were pretty good.
Just perfect.
Why do you say that so angrily?
I'm mad
because he's pissed off.
Them.
He doesn't have them right
just
now.
Just fucking perfect cookies.
So round.
The best fucking cookies I ever had. Goddamn fucking cookies.
Cool.
Also, the ravioli was pretty.
Oh yeah,
yeah, little lobster ravioli.
Pretty on fleek.
What?
On fleek. It means on point. Very good, and that's great.
Oh
yeah.
Is that French?
That's great ravioli. It's Belgian.
It's derived.
Like the waffle.
It has French roots.
It's a Latin, Taiwanese crossover.
Oh, there's Taiwanese in there.
Maybe I should go back to school because I don't remember any of that.
Well, they didn't teach it then because Taiwan wasn't a country when we were in college.
Oh, really?
But it is now.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
All right. So you started working on Stitchers. You had some good biscuits. Do you, you know, now that we've kind of arrived to where you currently are in your career, let's maybe backtrack a little bit. Do you have any horror stories that you might want to share? Oh, is that the new intro music?
I don't know.
You guys have a horse hiding somewhere in here?
Do we have a what?
A horse?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
A little gal up there.
There she is.
Calm down.
Any
Nelly.
Horror stories?
Calm down.
Not really. I mean,
Nadavi.
I'll be honest. The biggest horror story for anybody in freelance is just knowing whether or not you're going to have a job the next day.
True. You know,
that's pretty much it.
It's not a horror story so much as just like a thing that fucking sucks.
Yeah,
about,
it sucks pretty
about
bad.
Freelancing.
So you save your money.
No, not at all.
Oh, okay.
That's the horror story.
Yeah, you just
it.
Blow
yeah.
through it.
Just blow through.
Every time
try
get
getting married,
paycheck.
Guys, it's a good idea.
Yeah,
trying.
Yeah,
yeah. JJ and I both trying to get married there. Yeah. Not together.
To each other.
We can in California, but
well, we could. Yeah. But it's not the case.
You know
I'm ordained.
I was just about to offer my services.
Oh.
Well, you know, give me like 20 minutes and $20. I could marry you.
It's cool. We've got. We've got people.
I'm saying I'll
there.
Do it for you, JJ, and I'd be very offended if you turned me down.
I'm going to turn you down.
Well, then I'm very offended.
I'm sorry.
I've been inserting code words into this. When I said Taiwan in the church where I'm ordained, that means I now pronounce you husband and husband. So you guys actually are married now.
Oh.
Wonderful. Do you have any advice that you can give to people that maybe wanting to edit or assist that you've maybe it was a revelation like, oh, I never realized it was like that or anything along those lines? Any tidbits of information?
Yeah, people that want to be like you. How do they be like you? Like, don't need to sleep.
don't
sleep.
No, just be passionate about it. Jump on any opportunity. I've been fortunate. We'll stick with Stitchers. I mean, sometimes either opportunities present themselves because you're either behind or you have time on your hands, and you say, "Hey, do you mind if I take a pass at a scene?" And not every editor is open to that, and for many good and bad reasons, but. You just got to be respectful of it and just jump on it. I mean, whether it's cutting, if you want to be an editor, whether it's cutting recaps or a gag reel or, scenes, it's just showing that you're willing to kind of go the extra mile. I mean, I know some people that, turned off by the idea of editing, unless they're being paid to edit. And, I kind of just tell myself or ask myself, I'm like, well, then how am I ever going to be an editor if I don't, put that little extra effort in right now?
Yeah.
So
it's very true.
Yeah. But, it kind of goes along. It also goes along with not burning bridges. I mean, you gotta just keep that network growing. I'm just going to skip that thought. But no, I mean, okay. Just from, just sitting in a room here with you guys. I mean, I know we're all in the industry. I mean, if I keep Zuber happy over here, he's going to, potentially recommend me for the next show, even though he's just, writing it.
Even though he's impossible to please.
Right.
I'm very unhappy with that comment that you just made.
See, guys, I told you.
Yeah.
Any notes? I'll take notes on my comment.
It's a page one rewrite. I gotta be honest.
Okay.
Did you enjoy your season on Stitchers? It was season two that you worked on.
Yeah. Correct? No, I season two of Stitchers, and I have to say I really enjoyed being on the show, and very, very talented editors. We have a very good group of men and women. I say women, but there's really one woman, Bianca. She's on our show, but in our post production group, I would say. But no, it's been great. Really good chemistry and some very, very, very talented people. I mean, I know Andrew, you've been able to see not only and
he's
it's not
talking
only,
about you, Andrew.
Oh. Yeah, but it's not. I mean, it's not only post.
I'm at a loss right now.
they've really kind of redesigned the show and. In some respects, one of the bigger key components is they started shooting some stylistic things, more practical than relying on some post-heavy composite work and whatnot. And really, really helped the show.
Yeah, it looks awesome.
Yeah, it looks really good.
Ryan also cut our gag reel for season two.
Yeah.
And it was amazing.
Me and I had some, my other assistants... Andrew, Jim, and even our producer Joe threw in some ideas and some work on there.
How can people? Will people ever be able to see that gag reel?
Probably not. Hopefully not.
Shit, this is like rare footage.
It's going to be buried in a
on the DVD
somewhere,
like a hidden feature on the DVD.
It's funny that you think there's going to be a DVD,
a Blu-ray, whatever.
It's funny that you think there's going to be a physical copy.
Yeah, a box set.
We'll probably come out on beta.
Yeah, Betamax,
LaserDisc.
Yeah. The VHS copy and the beta. Oh, I don't have a beta
have
machine.
A beta. No, it was awesome. Everybody's talking about that, the reel, and how
it was a lot of fun.
Funny it was. And yeah.
What was your favorite part about cutting the gag reel?
Pretty much just. What's kind of cool about it is
just animating all those farts noises.
Pretty much. Well, we went with one of my favorite sections of that, or the segments of that gag reel was. Kind of stole the unnecessary censorship, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So in Stitchers, there's, some dramatic scenes and whatnot, some dialogue scenes, and just being able to bleep out and blur the mouths of some cast members and really kind of change the dynamic of the conversation. that was my favorite part of it, was just sitting back laughing and then realizing, oh wow, that was pretty vulgar, and then toning it back a little bit, and then you show and then you show you know, you show somebody and they don't really get the response that you were hoping for, and then you show them the more vulgar part and they're like, that's awesome. So no, that was pretty fun.
Plus it's not like you had to stick to a script.
No, there was a lot of you know, there was a lot of free range, and I think what was really cool was showing Jeff Schechter, our showrunner.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, he actually looked at two different, basically two versions of the gag reel. And the first time, I just remember being a little nervous, turn around and look, and, you know, just a stone face reaction. Mm-hmm. I was just like, I don't think he likes it. And then when we played the censored version, his son was there with him too.
Oh, yeah.
And I just remember looking back and seeing them.
How old is his son?
He's 18.
18?
Okay.
Yeah, so he's
legal age.
Legal age. And he was just, yes, he was losing it. He was laughing so hard, and I felt really good about it.
Oh, good.
So, yeah. It was fun.
Did you get to pick the music?
I did.
That's my favorite part.
Man, we want that song. And they were like, oh, you'll never afford that song.
Yeah. You know what song I used? Mm-hmm. Shawn Mendes, Stitches.
Oh,
genius!
I see what you did there.
Genius, and I even got the instrumental version so I can marry them together. And did like a little character intro in there. I mean, you guys are just gonna have to watch it now. You know what I mean?
Do you have a link of it? I'd like to see it. No, yeah, not like for like normal people listening.
Yeah,
but like for me, I'd like to
just
see it.
Just Nadav.
If you're still listening, you are invited to the cast and crew screening next year, and we'll just replay last year.
He's just kidding. You're not invited. Only
I can't do
just
that.
Me.
Just Nadav. Make sure you're still in there.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. Nadav's going though.
Dope.
Yeah.
Cool. Well. Ryan, if people want to follow you, ask you for advice, like do you have a Twitter and Instagram people could hit you up?
No, there? I'm pretty lame. I just have Facebook.
Do you have a phone?
I do.
What's your number?
If that's your way of getting my number, you're gonna have to work a little harder.
Here, let me get it for you.
It's like, all right, I'm thinking of a number between 1 and 2. No.
How many numbers are in a telephone?
Between 1 and 1 million. Does that sound right?
Sure.
No.
No, it'd be 9 million.
9,999,000. Yeah. I pick a number between 1 and 9 million.
9.
I'll give you a hint. It starts with 323.
It's
Chicago number.
It's 555555555.
Oh, wow. Very creative.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I'm calling it right now.
Well, JJ, how could people follow you?
They could follow my Twitter, JJ Geiger
711. That's
it. Or on Facebook. You can find me on Facebook.
Yeah, you are on Facebook.
And he'll add you too.
Just let me know where you know that you listen to this show.
Yeah.
Because if I just get this random ad, I'll be like, I don't know who you are.
We've been getting more traction on our Facebook page.
Have we?
Recently, yeah.
Yeah.
You guys should also check out the Stitcher's Facebook page.
Yeah.
I was contractually obligated to say that, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Really? Are you getting paid for this?
No, nope, not at all. I'm like Peyton Manning yelling out Budweiser.
You did a, you know, give us half your salary, by the way.
Yeah, I'm pretty sad about that.
I heard. Yeah. People can reach you.
Nadav. Oh, yeah. They could follow me at Very Nadav Show on Twitter or on Instagram.
And Andrew, they can follow you at
Instagram
too, right?
I'm on Instagram, just Andrew Zuber. I'm on Twitter at The Real Zoop.
Oh, shit. Switching it up.
Yeah. What?
You can follow us at earlycalltime.com.
You can send us emails, earlycalltime@gmail.com.
Yeah. You can call us.
At 267-225-CHAT.
Chat.
267-225.
Chat. Chat.
267-225.
Chat.
2428.
There we go.
Chat.
We're going to get better at that. I mean, it's...
We're
going to get better.
Sure.
What are we on? Episode 90 right now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really? This is 90?
Yeah.
Fuck. We've been doing this too long.
Yeah, we have.
Yeah.
And with that, guys, listen to the outro.
And that's a wrap. Didn't get your fill at craft services and you want more? Check out earlycalltime.com for more podcasts and information pertaining to the ever-growing entertainment industry. And remember to tell your friends about us via Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening.